Now we come in chapter 24 to the fact of the resurrection. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came, that is, these women, came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And I've always wanted to ask those women what they ever did with those spices. Mary, they said to her, why are you wasting this, putting it on the living Jesus? Well, you better put it on the living Jesus. You'll never be able to put it on the dead Jesus. And so these women, they had some spices left over, and I think they went to waste. They probably were so excited that they just left them there. Now we are told they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and the stone was not rolled away to let him out. The stone was rolled away to let them in. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't there. You see, he'd already left. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. That was a good question they asked. Why are you seeking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Why did Peter and John come running out to the tomb? They were seeking the dead among the dead. They were not seeking the living. They didn't believe that he'd come back from the dead. Now, the thing that we have here is that these women are those that have come to the tomb. Now, someone, I'm sure, is going to write in and say, well, Dr. McGee, there's a conflict among the Gospels. No, there's no conflict. If any of you got my book, and many of you did, of course, on Mark, when we were studying Mark, you know that I work out from all the Gospels the order of events on the resurrection morning. I think it's quite a logical thing. We're studying each Gospel separately, and I'm merely dwelling on each one, but it can be worked out an orderly sequence that is not contradictory at all. That's absurd. Each Gospel writer is presenting, as it were, really a little different facet. And so what we have here is these women now, and Dr. Luke dwells on that. The Son of Man must be delivered. This is what our Lord had told him, into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. You know, you can hear something sometime, not hear it. And sometimes you can hear something, and you can almost know it, but you don't believe it. And that's the way a lot of people are listening to the Word of God today. You see, when these went back to report, why, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They did not believe, but before the day was over, they did. Now, friends, Dr. Luke gives us something that no other gospel gives us. First of all, he gives the facts. And if you'll notice that since he's a doctor and deals with facts, why, he always presents facts to us, and yet he's the one that's given us the songs of Christmas. He's the one that gave us parables that no other gospel writer has given us. And that's true of the resurrection. But he always presents the facts first. All the gospel writers, as well as all the writers of the New Testament, make it abundantly clear that the Lord Jesus again and again told his apostles and his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and died, and that he was following the pattern, and that he would be raised again the third day. And we read in verse 8, they remembered his words. You will recall, we said sometimes we hear something, but we don't believe it. We may believe it, but we don't trust what has been said to us. They remembered the words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now, the apostles, I'm sure you would feel at this time would be greatly impressed by what they heard. But notice the reaction, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, these women that reported, you would have thought they are creditable witnesses, that their testimony would have been accepted. But the first disbelievers of the resurrection were the apostles themselves. And yet our Lord had told them again and again. Now will you notice, verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, this man Simon Peter had to turn it over in his mind a great while before he came to decision. I do not think he was quite as alert mentally as John the Apostle. John tells us in his gospel, when he went in that tomb and saw, he believed. Now will you notice, verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. And that convinced John, but Simon Peter had to turn it over in his mind, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass,